Romans chapter 4. This may be, for me, one of the most practical passages ever. I think I've even preached this here before through this passage. But we're going to do it again because it's so really pertinent, right? And especially when you think about this time of the year. Today is the last day of 2017. And so next week, you know, or tomorrow, everything will have to be, you have to get used to writing 2018 and not a 7, right, on the things that you date. That's kind of difficult for me to change over from one year to the next, because sometimes what I do is I revert back like 2 years for some odd reason and write a 5. Does anybody do that? Jeremy, all right, yes, all right, we got the guys here. It's New Year's Eve, and this time of year, everybody gets more than a little reflective over the past year, right? How many of you are just reflective right now? You're thinking, okay, so I'm all ready to start New Year's, and I'm going to do it right this year. And I've decided I'm done with doing New Year's resolutions. How many of you are done with doing New Year's resolutions? All right, okay, good for you. Here, we're always about change, right? We always want to keep moving forward. We always want to make things better. And so how is it that we can make 2018 even better than 2017 was? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to figure out what is it that really would help us continue to move forward. And as I was, you know, doing some research and reading things, and I thought about this idea of forgiveness. I'm like, why would we need forgiveness? Why would we need all that kind of stuff? And I'm trying to help you and let you know, get into my train of thought here. It sometimes falls off the tracks. But I thought, well, you know, Christians need forgiveness all the time because we're sinners and we live with sinners. And, you know, usually our problems would come from two people, right? Us and somebody else. So how do we make 2018 better for us and those somebody else's that we meet with every day? How do we do that? And so as I was thinking, I thought, wow, you know, Ephesians 4 really has a lot to say in this. And I'm going to read from 17, but I'm not really going to spend a whole lot of time there. So if you want to look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says this. Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you have learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And here we get to our text this morning. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, hath forgiven you. That's the old King James coming through. But it comes down to the end, in the very end, the whole motivation for the way that we communicate, the way that we talk, the way that we treat people in general is because Jesus Christ has called us to be like him. He has forgiven us of what we have done, right? And that's an amazing concept to think about. All the things that Jesus did for us so that we then could escape sin. We could escape those things that separate us from God, and we could become like him, and we can continue to grow and be like him. So, let's break this passage down just a little bit. First of all, he says to us in verse 25, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Why in the world would Paul have to write to Christians saying, okay, if you've gone ahead and put away falsehood, I think the idea is which you should, he says, you need to learn to speak truth to your neighbors. Isn't that an interesting concept? What does it mean for us when he says, put away falsehood and speak the truth? What does it mean for us to do that? Let's put it in words that we really can grasp. All right? So just like our New Year's resolutions that some of us don't make anymore, we just try to change and become better through the whole year, right? What is he saying? He says, I want you to commit to truth. What does it mean to commit to truth? Anybody have any ideas off the top of their head? We speak freely here. What does it mean to commit to truth? Well, here's what I think. And you can take it with a grain of salt. When it means you commit to truth, it means you live in such a way, number one, that you're not going to have you're not going to be tempted to lie to somebody else. Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to think about committing to tell the truth. To live in such a way that we're not tempted to have to tell falsehoods. So that means we live in an open fashion before people. That means we, when we wake up in the morning or we're about to do something, maybe we should ask ourselves, you know, is this something that I'm going to have to, that I'm not going to want to get out? To speak truth to your neighbor. Speak truth. Why does he say, who is neighbor here? Who is neighbor? What do you think? Everyone. Okay. So in Luke, okay, who is your neighbor? That question was asked when Jesus was talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? And where the Pharisee or lawyer came up to Jesus and he said, what's the great commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, oh yes, but Jesus, who is my neighbor? And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And there, the neighbor is anybody that you need to minister to. But in this passage also, it kind of clarifies that for us just a little bit more. Let's look at it. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Okay, now when he says members of one another, we are members of one another, what is he talking about? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody over here said body. That's awesome. That's exactly what he's talking about. We are part of the body of the Christ. As Grace Life Church, we represent Christ here in this community. We, as Grace Life Church, ought to be about telling the truth. about putting away falsehood. It's about living in such a way that we're not going to be tempted to lie about it. Living an open and honest life. All right. It also means, I just looked at my notes, and here's a good little nugget, that as we live within the body, we should be committed to tell the truth, especially within the body. Why? Because the body should be a safe place for us to tell the truth. Truth is sometimes hard for us to swallow. Truth is hard for us to take in sometime. Because among the body, we should be able to tell truth to each other, even if it hurts just a little bit. Do you know why? Because in the body, in the family, in the body of Christ, in church, okay, when we meet together, we are talking with other believers. We are talking with other people whose job it is to help us be more like Christ, whose job we have to help them be more like Christ. And so we should be quick to forgive when things hurt. We should be quick to move on. We should be quick to heal. We should be quick to help heal. We should be quick to encourage people as they fall, as, you know, even sometimes if they're caught in a lie. That's what the church is about. We're here together to help each other. That's why he says, and he brings in the body of Christ to this, he says, let's be truthful in front of our neighbors. But he says, as we are here members of one another. Then he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no place to the devil. So what's he saying here? So the first one we said, commit to truth. The second one is what? Commit to, okay, what's the opposite of anger? Not anger. Bingo. Peace. That's what I have. Not anger. It doesn't quite go one on one. Okay, I know they're not directly opposed or opposites. But we're committed to peace. We're committed to not reaching out in anger. Right? So, you know, can I let you in on one of my weaknesses? I can be a very angry person. I know I don't look like it up here, but I can be a very angry person. I get grumpy just that fast. And my child up here, yes. And you see why. It goes back and forth, buddy. All right. Now I'm all flustered. All right. You know, anger, he says right here, not all anger is sin, but it's easy to sin when we're in anger, okay? Why do you think it's easy to sin when we're in anger? Huh? We're usually only thinking of ourselves. I heard some voices over here. We're not thinking clearly, absolutely. Anger is one of those things that that's so powerful in us that it just automatically clouds our minds. I mean, think about it. How many times have you said something to somebody else, whether it's a spouse or a child or a mother or father or a relative, nephew, coworker, somebody else, and you were angry and you really didn't mean to say what you said? I mean, that happens enough to me when I'm not angry. Okay, there we go. But we do this all the time. How are we going to make 2018 great? It's not by speaking out in anger. He says, be angry and sin not. So how is it, it's warm. How is it that we can speak truth, okay, because we're committed to the truth, right? Even in a bad situation where we're angry and not sin. Because in James, James says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Okay, anger is a very dangerous place to be. So he says, be angry and sin not. So what he's saying, I think, is let make yourself or guard the way you talk. Guard as that when you feel anger coming on, that you can stop it, okay, from leaving your mouth. That is the best way. And it's tough to do. This is probably one of the hardest things for us to do, is to stop anger before it leaves my mouth, okay? The mouth speaks what's in the heart, right? If there's anger in the heart, it's going to come out. We've got to learn to stop that, okay? If you watch Daniel Tiger, I watch plenty of Daniel Tiger, okay? If you want to roar, he says, count to four. Sorry, too many kids. All right, so when we get, whatever we have to do, whether it's counting or whether it's backing yourself out of the situation, it's okay to be angry at unrighteousness. If you see an injustice, it's okay to act on it. But what's not okay is to continue to act out in anger, to tear down, okay? We're going to get there in a little bit when we talk about our communication. But as he says, anger, he says we're not to use it inappropriately. Use your anger appropriately. That's actually being made in the image of God. That's why we have anger. It's because God has anger toward unrighteousness. We are like him, but we need to use it appropriately. Okay, we need to be careful with it. In fact, we need to be extra guarded with it because of the tendency that we have, number one, to think of ourselves, number two, to let it cloud our brains, and it just comes right on out. Then he says, with his anger, he says, you know, don't be angry, but don't sin. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What do you think he's saying there? What do you think he's saying? Forgive? That's what he's saying. He's saying don't sit there and stew on it. How many of you are stewers? You like to sit and stew. Okay, I like stew. I do too. I mean, there's nothing better, right, than mixing stuff up and just sitting on it and letting it poison you and everything else like that. It tears you apart. Anger hurts, and it hurts more than just you. It hurts people around you, because even the people that you're not angry at, if you're angry, guess what happens? They feel the weight of that anger. They do. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What is it saying? Well, there might be forgiveness that needs to be made. There might be a situation that needs to be dealt with. Some people in their marriages commit to never going to bed angry. Some people stay up all night. But what he's saying here is this: don't dwell on it. Don't keep it around. Guess what happens if you keep it around? Your view of somebody else or whoever you're mad at or angry with, if you're that type of anger, okay, a lot of times what happens is your perception or view of that person changes. It changes for the worse the longer you're angry. Now, question, as Christians, is that good for us? It's not, because other people are created in the image of God as well. Other people, what are we supposed to do with them? What is our job when it means other people are involved? To love them, to serve them, to do whatever it is that you can do to show the love of Christ to them. That's what it means to not be angry, or to be angry and sin not. It means to take care of the situation. It means to use a type of communication that we sometimes don't have. We're not equipped with it. Why would we do that? Because a lot of times angry is because we're angry because people communicate poorly, right? We're angry because people use the wrong words with us. And we automatically go to where we're hurt, and we start speaking out of that. instead of saying, is that really what you mean to say? Because this is what I'm hearing from you. Or using a type of communication where we're not getting our needs met, and so we speak sometimes, you know, here we are in the Midwest or Minnesota, and we have our passive-aggressive language that sometimes makes other people angry. You know, that's just the way it is. It's how we're taught to communicate. But if we tell people, you know, if we tell people what we need and tell people what we want and be direct with people, guess what? Maybe we won't have so many, what's the word I'm looking for? Unrealistic expectations. How many of you think that people should just know what you're thinking? I mean, come on, right? Everybody has this weird form of Christian ESP, and we just know what other people are feeling, right? No, that's not the way it works. Extrasensory perception. All right. It's not the way it works. We need to communicate in a way where we're talking with people and talking with each other and not letting this anger deal. We got to deal with our situation. So let's move on. I know there's some Vikings fans in here today. He says, give no opportunity to the devil. Then he says in verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. All right, tell me what the point of this little verse here is. Okay, I'm going to read it again, and you tell me. Think through it carefully. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. What's the point? It's not that hard. What's the point? So we have a commitment to truth, we have a commitment to peace, and we have a commitment to share. Oh, really? You're going to go there? Yeah, you were thinking this a little bit too hard. This passage is really, really practical. It's really, really easy. This might be one of those things that you work on this year and try to memorize. We all know the last verse. We all know Ephesians 4:31 and 32. But what about the rest of this? Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Is it really about the thief stealing? What is the focus? So remember, we're putting off the old and putting on the new. We're making something great. And really, if we're talking, we don't want to preach to the choir. You know, none of us are going to go out to the gas station and pull, oh, I hope none of us would do this, but pull the candy bar off the shelf. We're not going to do stuff like that. But what's the point? Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him labor so that what? He may share. Now, I know that there are some very awesome givers at Grace Life Church. It's just the way they're built. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, or that kind of an idea. Okay, they're just very, very good at sharing, and that's great. But here he's telling Christians, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to be like. Okay? We should no longer steal, as was the tendency before we became Christians. We put on the new, the labor with your hands, not just so we have what we need. Because who is a thief thinking of when they steal? Me. Okay? The point is we work to share. I know that's tough sometimes, okay? I know it can be difficult to share, but we ought to be a sharing type of people. So how are we going to make 2018 great? Well, number one, we're going to commit to truth. Number two, we're going to commit to peace. Number two, we should commit to giving. Number three, we should commit to great communication, okay? We should commit to great communication. Look what it says. Verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay, what's he saying? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Okay, now I've been told before, and maybe you have growing up, that this verse tells Christians that they should not swear, right? That's what this verse is talking about, swearing. Everybody shake your head. Nah, that's not what this verse is about at all. Okay. What is corrupt communication? Well, gossip is one, yes. Okay. What is corrupt communication? In the verse it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of what? Edifying or building up. Bingo. Corrupting communication is anything that tears other people down. Now this can be difficult, because a lot of times we have this need to feel good about ourselves, and usually by the time we're out of middle school and high school, we're done with this kind of communication, but some people, it's still around, okay? We have this need to feel good about ourselves, and sometimes we don't feel good about ourselves, or we don't understand our value in Christ. That's what I mean by feel good, okay? We don't understand our value in Christ. We don't understand our being a part of the body, or the necessity of our service to other people, or the necessity of being in a place where people can minister to us. We don't understand that, and sometimes when we get to this place where we're just, you know, feeling bleh and gross, guess what happens? We use communication to tear other people down. So usually it's at the expense of ourselves, so we can make ourselves feel better, right? I mean, I've done it before. I'll fess up to it. And sometimes we don't even think about the way we're communicating hurting other people, but we have to commit. So this means thinking ahead. How can I think ahead so that I can use communication to build people up? How can I do that? Okay, wait, what? You talked? Sorry. Keep your mouth shut. Okay, there you go. Truth and love. Think before you speak. Good. So we're thinking now before we speak tomorrow. How do I become a good communicator without tearing people down? How about let's practice encouragement? Not just for the sake of being positive, not just for the sake of being good, but for other people's sake. Do you notice this passage is very get rid of the old stuff out of you so you can help other people? Have you noticed the bent of this passage? Learn to encourage people. Use your words to help other people continue to grow. What if they make mistakes? What if they make you mad? Forgive them and go on. Give to them words. Give to them time. There are certain people in your life right now, I can almost guarantee you, to the person, that you have somebody in your life that you need to think ahead in order to encourage them. Because they might be a thorn in your side and you don't really like encouraging them. Our job as Christians is to be like Christ. Now Christ, when he deals with people, very matter-of-factly. You know, when the Pharisees and Sadducees come up and they start asking him questions, I mean, he gets on them. He does. But he always leaves the room open. There always leaves room for forgiveness. He always leaves room for encouragement. Do you remember when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I've done everything that I've done. I fulfilled all the law. What do I need to do? He says, sell everything you have. And he didn't get angry with him and just say, that's a bunch of baloney. You have not followed the law your whole life. Everybody knows that everybody fails. How can you say? He doesn't do that. He doesn't tear him down. He says, well, you should sell everything you have and follow me. He encouraged him. He wasn't mean or ugly about it. There are other places where Jesus could have been mean or ugly to somebody, but he encourages them. He tells the prostitute, go and sin no more. He doesn't get after her for her sin. He encourages her. And that ought to be what we do. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. What's the commitment to? The commitment to compassion. Compassion. He says, the compassion here says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What is he saying? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When a Christian is involved in telling falsehoods, when a Christian is involved in taking for themselves theft, and when a Christian is involved in tearing down, when a Christian is involved in committing anger, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's a fruit of unrighteousness. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? Those are what the Holy Spirit gives us. Those are the things that he allows us to have access to. Love, joy, peace. That's how we're supposed to treat people. So look at here. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you with all malice. As he's talking about putting on and taking off and putting on here. Put off the old man, put on the new. Take off who you were before, but as you have believed in Christ, now put on those things that Christ would want us to be. Be Christ-like, he's saying. Put anger, wrath, clamor, and slander away with all malice. Then take on to yourself compassion. He says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, or has forgiven, or forgave. Get the right language in there. The whole reason we do this, the whole reason we can do this, is because of what Jesus Christ did. The only way that this works out for us in 2018, the only way that we, I shouldn't say the only way that we make 2018 better, but one of the best ways that I can think of to make 2018 better is to continue putting on Christ. Taking off those things which are of the world, so the bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, anger, focusing on yourself, me, myself, and I, committing to falsehoods instead of the truth. Those things that we've talked about in just this section, the way that we deal with people will make 2018 so much better than 2017, because we can only continue to grow. What would it be like if we could have a whole year where instead of just suffering through people problems, we deal with them and we grow out of them and we put on these things? What would that be like? What would that look like at the end of the year? Maybe because of the way that you go after and encourage people and treat people and communicate with people, maybe someone will come to Christ because of you. Maybe you'll begin to rebuild those relationships that maybe you tore up in 2017. Or 16, or 15. When I was in college, my brother was still in high school, and I had come from a Christian family, but somewhere about year two out of high school, I really started to live for the Lord. Jesus kind of got a hold of my ear and dragged me kicking and screaming, right? And in the middle of that, I was horrible at communicating. Horrible at communicating what it meant to be a Christian. And so what happened was my brother and I butted heads. Yeah, it happens. Because I was horrible at communicating. I didn't know how to tell him that I was concerned for him. I didn't know how to tell him that I wanted him to live right. And so one day it came to a head. And guess what? I didn't talk to my brother hardly at all until a couple of years after I was married, which would have been like, I graduated, probably 5 years. Isn't that horrible? Was he in the wrong for what some of the things that he was doing? Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I communicated horribly, and I was thinking I was the one standing up for Christ. I didn't treat him like the scriptures say I should treat him. Isn't that horrible, that how relationships can go like that? And now my brother and I, we've rectified things, and we're great friends. Talk almost every week. But it's because both of us have learned to communicate. Both of us have learned these truths. So let's kind of review the list real quick. If we're going to make 2018 great, number one, we've got to commit to the truth. We've got to commit to peace. We've got to commit to sharing. We've got to commit to great communication and commit to compassion. Let me challenge you to make those commitments, to review this passage, to look over it, study it, take it to heart, and grow from it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the blessings that you've given us and the things that you, the instructions that you've left for us. Help us to be like you. Help us to be concerned with committing to have a great 2018 because of the things that we learned, because of the way that we can follow you. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.